It is a beautiful Resurrection Sunday morning. Amen. Are you glad to be here? Amen. Well, this morning, I want to speak to you a little bit about how Jesus takes us from the darkness into the light. Because you know what happened on Easter? The light shone very brightly. Again, I want to welcome each of you again to our Easter Sunday service. And as we start this morning, we're going to look at the Gospel of John, 20th chapter. I'll have a video in just a few moments, in fact, two of them. But we're going to go back about 2,000 years, and there were a lot of folks back there who were experiencing a lot of darkness at that given point in time. As I was thinking about this, it kind of reminded me a little bit of, when I think about darkness, you think about thunderstorms, and you think about the times when your lights go out, especially at night, and all of a sudden, I mean, your house is dark, right? There were a bunch of folks that got to experience that not too long ago when Superstorm Sandy hit the East Coast. And I'll tell you, most of the cities around this whole area experienced a certain amount of darkness, didn't they? And it was really dark when the lights were not burning at all. A lot of American cities had been plunged into darkness. But at the same time, while physical darkness is one thing, there's other darknesses that all of us experience at times, right? We experience some of these emotional darkness, these emotional dark times, these spiritually dark times. But I think Easter is just such a great reminder to each one of us that our Jesus Christ came and he can change darkness into light. Praise God. In fact, these past several weeks, as we've been kind of paralleling the Bible series that's been on the History Channel, we've seen that the redemption that Jesus Christ offers through faith, and that's all it is, it's through faith, our redemption in Jesus Christ comes about through faith, and his redemption can lead us from darkness into light. Thank goodness, he can take us from slavery right into freedom, and he can take us from being a victim into real victory, amen? And he can take us from trying to please God through religion to instead having a real relationship with God himself. And today, we're going to look at how he takes us all the way from darkness into light. Now, we remember as we go back into the Bible a little bit, Jesus, during the Holy Week, had entered into Jerusalem, and he had come and he had cleansed the temple, if you remember. But shortly thereafter, something happened. He got arrested. He was tried in a kangaroo court, basically, and he ended up being executed as a common criminal on a Roman cross. And when that happened, it's just like the Gospel of Matthew said. He said, darkness came over all of the land. Darkness came over all of the land. And we're going to watch just a short video clip to kind of set the stage of what had been. So we're going to take a look at the darkness at this time. Darian, go ahead and run this, please. Resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ tells us that there's several aspects about this great salvation that he offers. And the first one is, folks, is the moment we are saved from darkness, this darkness of confusion that Mary was experiencing, into a brand new story, a story of light. So if this time, if you will, go ahead and turn to your Bibles to the 20th chapter. I want to read first just verse 1. And it said, early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went up to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. Now, you think about Mary's probable state of mind. Think about what she was probably thinking about that morning. She was obviously grief-stricken to start off with. She had witnessed the crucifixion of our Lord Jesus Christ. She had seen Christ suffer things that probably people, it would repulse them, and she probably couldn't even get these out of her mind whatsoever, and she probably never even forget them for the rest of her life. You think about grief in your own life with somebody that you really love has passed away. I'll tell you, grief doesn't go away overnight, does it? It didn't go away overnight for Mary either. So I don't think Mary was just kind of skipping along singing some nice Christian happy tune as she went out to the tomb that morning. Do you? I don't think that she had a lot of joy in her heart as she went out there. She was probably in a very low state of mind when you get right down to it. She was in a real state of darkness. And maybe you can identify with Mary in some ways, maybe through some of the life events that you're going through, maybe that you're in the middle of even today. But I want to tell you something. God doesn't want you to stay there in your darkness. He doesn't want you to stay there. Look on down here in verse 14 through 18 and see what happens. Let's read that together. And it says, at that time, she turned around and she saw Jesus standing there, but she didn't realize that it was Jesus. Woman, he said, why are you crying? Thinking that he was the gardener, she said, sir, if you've carried him away, tell me where you've taken him, and I'll go get him. Mary, and Jesus said to her, Mary. And she turned to him, and she cried out in Aramaic, Rabboni, which means teacher. And Jesus said, do not hold on to me, for I have not yet returned to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am returning to my Father and to your Father and to my God and to your God. But Mary went to the disciples with the news and said, I have seen the Lord. And she told them that he had said all of these things to her. See, she sees Jesus. But at first, she doesn't recognize him because of that darkness of confusion that's got a grip on her. But in her initial confusion, something happened. There she was, confused, and just, you know, it's not coming together. And you can imagine, you know, the shock, the empty tomb, just the grave dressings, the tombstone, or the big stone cracked and lying there outside of the tomb. And then something happened. Something happened. Jesus spoke to her. The Lord spoke to her. And he called her by name. He said, Mary. Folks, that tells me that our Lord Jesus Christ is not some impersonal God. He is very personal. And he knows your name, and he calls you by your name. He knows my name, and he calls me by my name. And you know what? That's awesome. My Savior calls me by my name because he knows me. He died for me, but he also knows me very personally and very intimately. He knows your name exactly like he knew Mary's name. And what's cool is the moment that Jesus spoke to her, her darkness fled. And it was replaced instead. This pity party, really, that she was in. She just jumped out of her pity party, and she allowed the excitement and the joy of Jesus Christ just to completely fill her. And you know what? Jesus will do exactly the same thing for you anytime in your own life, wherever you are. Notice what happened. This is cool. Once she knew what had happened, and once she recognized who this was, she was given a brand new commission. She was given the command, go and tell. Jesus said, go and tell. Jesus said, take the good news and go tell the others about my resurrection. And you know what? That's exactly the same thing that happens for the Christian. The moment that we have Christ who comes into our lives, Jesus wants us to go and tell. He wants us to share the good news. You know, we may have, before we came to know Jesus, we may have really been down and out. We may have been just busting with darkness, if you will. But the moment that we asked Christ to come into our lives, a lot of things happened, and that darkness fled. That darkness cleared up. That darkness left. Because once Christ came into our lives, his resurrection continually reminds us, and it reminds us today, if we know him, that life, this life we live today isn't what it's all about. It really isn't. His resurrection reminds us that death and the dark grave have got no grip on us because there's something else that's coming. And can you say hallelujah to that? Amen. See, the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ gives proof. It gives proof that our Savior triumphed over the very worst of the worst of the worst that the world could throw at him. And that's why, just like Mary, you and I, the moment we come to know him, we got a brand new story to tell. We got a story to tell about a risen Savior, one who lives today. And that's why we celebrate Resurrection Sunday today. He lives. He has arisen. Go and tell. Whoa. But that's not all. Jesus not only saves us out of a darkness of confusion, he also saves us out of a darkness of fear. Amen. And when he saves us out of that darkness of fear, it's replaced by his presence and his peace. I want us to look down at John verses 19 down to 23, if you will. It says, "And on the evening of that first day of the week, the disciples were all together, and the doors were locked for fear of the Jews. Jesus came and stood among them and said, 'Peace be with you.' After he said this, he showed him his hands and his side, and the disciples were overjoyed. They were overjoyed when they saw him. And again Jesus said, 'Peace be with you. For as my Father sent me, I'm sending you.'" Wow. Is that cool? Peace be with you. Peace be with you. Here were the Lord's disciples gathered where? Behind locked, closed doors. So why locked doors? Amen. But they were behind locked doors. The Bible tells us, it says they were behind locked doors because of fear. They were fearing for their lives. Maybe rightly so. We know that the Jews were out looking for them. They wanted to round up anybody that was one of the Lord's followers. So here they are. They're all cowered together, if you will, in darkness of fear. And maybe you can relate to that. Maybe you're cowering in darkness of fear of life about something. Maybe it's fear about losing your job. Maybe it's about fear of losing somebody that you really love. Maybe it's about fear of losing love. Maybe it's about fear of being hurt all over again. Maybe it's about fear of messing up once again. Any number of things. Maybe that fear has got you. That darkness of fear has got you. But folks, you don't have to stay there. You don't have to stay there. We've overcome because of Jesus. And look what happens down here in these next verses. Jesus comes along and he says to them, "Peace be with you. Peace be with you." He came and he literally banished their fear by his very presence, by his very peace of who he is. But here's something else. Because he also knew that he was going to be ascending very soon, he did something. He gave them the Spirit, by whom his very presence would be with them from that point thereon forevermore. And folks, the moment you and I come to know Jesus Christ as our own Savior and Lord, the moment that we experience his peace and his presence, we too have the Holy Spirit of God who comes into us and indwells in us. And he's with us now and forever. See, this salvation that our Lord Jesus Christ gives us saves us out of that fear darkness and takes us right straight into his presence and into his peace. If you're afraid today about anything, you don't have to be, because Jesus doesn't want you there. And you have, if you know Jesus, you have his presence and you've got his peace in you. You don't have to have that fear of darkness, that darkness of fear, if you will. Wow. He not only saved us out of confusion, he saved us out of fear. Pretty cool, amen? Hallelujah. Wow. Well, there's one other aspect I want to cover real quickly this morning. He also takes us out of the fear of doubt. We all know about Thomas. Thomas was called the doubter, right? I want to share a little bit about Mr. Thomas here for just a second. We're going to look at verses 24 down through 29. It says, "Now Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not there with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, 'We've seen the Lord.' But Thomas said to them, 'Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and I put my fingers where the nails have been and in my hand into his side, I won't believe it.'" A week later, disciples were in the house again and Thomas was with them and the doors were locked. Here we go, locking the doors. They hadn't quite got over that yet, had they? "And Jesus came and he stood among them and said, 'Peace be with you.' And then he said to Thomas," "Thomas, put your finger here in your hands. See my hands. Reach out with your hand and put it in my side. Stop doubting and believe.' And Thomas said to him, 'My Lord and my God.' And Jesus told him," said, "'Because you have seen me, you've believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed.'" Thomas hadn't been in the room on that first appearance, was he? He hadn't been there. And so when the disciples tell old Thomas about it, this great news that Mary had come and told him and they had discovered it themselves, they wanted a lot more. Thomas wants more. He said, "Oh, yeah, I got this doubt thing. I don't believe this." But I want you to notice something about that scene.
There's some of the, we've kind of sometimes have this idea that Thomas, you know, he actually touched the nail holes and touched the wound. But I want you to see something. You look back in here in your Bible, if you will, because it's really important. As you look at verses 24 to 29, does it say any place that Thomas actually touched the wounds? Whoa. Huh. It doesn't, does it? The text says that the Lord appeared to them. The Lord appeared. And the text says the Lord spoke to them and said, "Peace be with you." And then Jesus, who knew exactly what was going through old Thomas's mind, he knew what Thomas had said before, Jesus said, "Thomas, okay, go ahead, put your fingers in here, put your hand in here," and all this stuff. But the text doesn't say that Thomas went ahead and did it, does it? Instead, the text says next, "My Lord and my God." That was Thomas's response to what Jesus told him to have to do. Obviously, Thomas didn't need to physically touch the wounds like he thought he did. Instead, Thomas only needed to see Jesus himself. And that's the same for every one of us. You know, we may think we have to have some sort of physical, tangible proof before we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, but folks, we really don't. Because all we need to do is open up the eyes of our heart, and he'll show himself to us. And that's why the writer of Hebrews verses in chapter 11, verse 1 said, "Now faith is sure of what we hope for, and it's certain of what we do not see." The Lord Jesus Christ, when he comes into our hearts, completely dispels doubt. And what does he give us? A brand new beginning. You see, all we got to do is also go look at the book of Acts, and we find out that all these folks who were gathered around there, scared to death, doubting and carrying on and the whole nine yards, something happened. Because once they saw Jesus and once they got the Holy Spirit, these guys they became Jesus freaks. And they got out there in the world and they really changed the world. These are the same folks that were afraid and who had the doors locked. These were the same folks, though, that once they had met Jesus, once they saw him, once they believed truly that he had arisen, and they received the Holy Spirit, all that doubt, all that fear, everything was replaced by a brand new life. And the same can be yours today. You can be saved from the darkness of confusion, the darkness of fear, and you can be saved from this darkness that sometimes we have of doubt and come into a brand new life through the presence and the power of our Lord Jesus Christ. It all happens the moment that you open your spiritual eyes to Jesus, the moment that you open your heart to him. Just like Thomas, what we need to do is stop doubting and start believing. Stop doubting and start believing. Folks, if you've never asked the risen Savior, Jesus Christ, to come into your heart, will you let Jesus give you that new beginning today? You can do that right now. I'm going to ask everybody, if you will, go ahead and just bow your heads. If you've never asked Jesus Christ into your heart and you want to do that this morning, you can do that. Just say a very simple prayer. Something like, "Lord Jesus, just shine your presence into my life, please. Take away my confusions. Take away my fears. Take away my doubts. Lord, please help me. Help me to overcome all of that. Lord, I confess to you that I'm a sinner. I confess to you that I need a Savior, that I really need you. And I turn to you right now, Jesus, and I claim the sacrifice that you made for me. I claim that as the true payment for all the wrong things that I've done. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, for what you've done. Forgive me, and Lord, would you please come into my life to be my Savior? Come into my life and take charge. Come into my life, Lord, and be the manager of my life." If you prayed that prayer, the Bible said that you were saved. The Bible said that Jesus Christ came into your life right at that moment, and his presence is in you. You are now a real child of God, and you will have all the peace and all the presence of Christ in you. If you prayed that prayer, I'd like for you to maybe spend a couple moments with me right after the service, concludes, and I'd like to just pray with you and talk to you about how to help you get started. For all of us, as we close the service this morning, I'd like for us to all just bow our heads this morning and pray together. Lord God, thank you so very much. Thank you so much for what you have done. Thank you for calling me out of that darkness. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that through your power, through your spirit, I know that you're in my life. And Lord, I just ask that from this moment there on, don't let me get dragged back down into any of that stuff. Lord, help me to truly be the light bearer of your standard. Help me to take the good news of what you have done and of your great love out into this world and share it with others. Lord, again, I just thank you so very much. Father, thank you for this service this morning, this time that we've been able to be together, to sing, to worship you, to praise your name. Thank you for the life that you've truly given us. And I just pray this in your Son's most precious and blessed name. And all of God's people said, amen. Our praise team is going to quietly play some music in the background. And this might be a time that if you want to commit your life to the Lord Jesus, use this moment, these times right now. If you need to come and use the altar for anything, just to give him thanks, to praise him, ask forgiveness, whatever, the altar is open. Feel free to use it.